Father, please work in our hearts. Please help us to see Jesus as worth serving and trusting. Please help us honour you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read Jonah chapter 2 for us. So in Jonah chapter 1, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh to call out against their evil. Jonah runs the opposite direction to Tarshish. The storm comes, he's thrown over the side, and a fish comes to swallow him, and this is where we pick up the story, his whale song. Jonah chapter 2, his song from the belly of a fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I'm driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Some are out of their depth. You can see it in the world of politics at the moment. I won't pass comment as to exactly who I think might be out of their depth, but I'll let you fill in the blanks. Some are out of their depth at work. I don't know if you've seen that. You see people just completely drop the ball on a presentation or just completely miss a deadline. You just think they're just out of their depth. They can't cope. I guess the more humble question, or the more humble reflection would be, well, what do we do when we realise we're out of our depth? If you have those moments at work where you just think, I'm just completely out of my depth. I can't keep pace with the increased expectation. I can't meet the deadline. At home, our kids, our marriage, it feels like it's slipped out of our control. Morally, I look back, I realise, well, I've completely stuffed this up, and I don't know how to, I can't make it better. I'm out of my depth. How do we respond? Do we just fake it till we make it? Keep up the bluff, pretend there's no issue? Do we try harder? You know, just keep treading water a little bit longer, hoping somehow I'll float back into range of the bottom? Do we try and make up for our moral failure? Or have we ever got to the stage where we just give up and start sinking down? Burnout is ever increasing in the workplace. Spouses just up and leave. Many just sink under the burden of guilt. What do we do? And how does our view of the world help us when we feel out of our depth? Because survival of the fittest is, you know, I can see it's an attractive view of the world if you think you're one of the fittest. But what happens if you think you're not? Or dog eat dog, what happens if you think you're the second dog in that sentence? What should we do? Well, listen in as we see Christianity's hope for those who know they're out of their depth before God. Jonah is out of his depth. God says go to Nineveh. Jonah won't go to Nineveh. Taking on God, you're punching way above your weight. You are out of your depth. He's so far out of his depth, he starts to sink. So last week he went down to Joppa to catch this boat to flee from the Lord. He goes down onto the boat. He goes down below decks. He's thrown over the side and he sinks down, down, down into the sea. Maybe you remember that moment from swimming lessons, having a competition with your mate, going down to the bottom, trying to hold your breath as long as you could, just burning, 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 the last breath there. That's what Jonah's feeling like at this moment. Except it's much more serious. He can't get back up to the surface. Verse 5, the waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The last breath is seeping out his lungs. I think the timing of this passage makes it slightly hard to understand because it's sung from inside the belly of the fish, but it's mostly about the time before the fish swallows him. So it's mostly about the moment from when he is thrown over the boat until he sinks all the way down, and only then does the fish come and get him. But death is the picture of that moment before the fish comes. So verse 2, he's in the belly of Sheol, the realm of the dead. Verse 5, the waters take his life. Verse 7, his life is fainting away. He's utterly convinced he's about to die. I don't know if you came across the story over the summer of Kay Longstaff. She was on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean, and somehow she just ended up falling off the back of the ship. And the ship just sailed off without her. Can you imagine being her? Just left there floating. Can I keep floating? Am I just going to sink? Is anyone coming? It's that panic at the moment you realize you're completely on your own, sinking. Well, Jonah is sinking into death. He's sinking because of sin. Sin means rejecting God. Jonah rejects different aspects of God. At points, he's rejecting God's authority. So God says go, he says no. The boss says go on international business travel. He is told point blank no. And that's a bad idea because your boss has the authority to fire you. And that's what it begins to look like God is doing with Jonah as he ends up in this storm and in the water. But he doesn't just reject the God of authority. He's also rejecting the God of mercy, the same God. Because you find out later on in the book of Jonah why Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh. It's because he doesn't want God to show mercy to Nineveh. So Nineveh are the bully boy superpower of the day, of the region, maybe raping and pillaging their way through the area surrounding Jonah's home. And Jonah just doesn't want God to be a God who shows mercy. He doesn't want to go in case God relents of the disaster he threatens, which is what he ultimately does. He doesn't want God to be a God who is like a parent holding out forgiveness to a wayward son. Jonah's sinking because of sin. We, by nature, humans, we reject God too. In different ways, different aspects of God at different moments, maybe a blatant way, I reject your authority, get off the ship of my life. Or a more subtle way, okay, you can be on the ship of my life, God, but you get to be the first mate, or you get to be in the engine room, but I'm the captain here. Or maybe we do reject God's mercy. We refuse to go into the family business. We won't show mercy to other people. We reject God in that way and what he stands for. We all reject God. Jonah is sinking because of sin. He's sinking under judgment. Did you see, as we read it through, this is God's work. So verse 3, the sailors cast Jonah into the sea, but Jonah says, you God, you cast me into the sea. It's God's waves, God's billows that pass over Jonah. These words, Jonah, steeped in Old Testament, they deliberately echo other moments in the Old Testament where God has judged by water. So in Genesis 6, as all humanity rebel, well, God sends the waters of judgment onto the earth in the flood, and only Noah and the ark are saved. There are verbal echoes. As Israel set out on the Exodus, well, Israel are free. They pass through the waters of judgment, and yet the waters of judgment come down on God's enemies, on Egypt. Israel sing a song at the side of the Red Sea. they say, Egypt went down into the depths like a stone. Jonah knows he's sinking under God's judgment. The Bible's sober truth is that those judgments then in the Old Testament, this judgment on Jonah then, well, it echoes and points forward to a greater judgment. Revelation 20, verse 13, the end of the Bible, says, death, Hades, and the sea, will they give up the dead in them? And then each of them are judged. Each is found wanting, and each is thrown into the second living death, a lake not of water but of fire. Now that's terrifying in the Bible, that this is what all of us deserve. That when we feel out of our depth morally, when we sense our failure to love and serve others, our failure to love and serve God, we're sensing something real. And yet, we don't need to pretend that that's not real. We don't need to try harder. We don't need to sink down into despair. Instead, we can be like Jonah and realize there's hope and cry out to God. Jonah cries out from the depths. So verse 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. Verse 7, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, Lord, into your holy temple. Kay Longstaff floating there in the sea. She sees the rescue ship on the horizon. And what does she do? She's been standing there silent, floating there silent, trying to preserve energy. And suddenly she sees hope coming over the horizon. And she just starts shouting, help, help, here I am. Come and rescue me. Jonah knows he's out of his depth. And he cries out. Maybe as you've sunk under the weight of work, you felt ill-equipped, out of your depth. You stumbled into your boss's office, two all-nighters later, red-eyed, caffeine-fueled, and you just go in going, enough. I just can't get this done. I need help. He's not calling out to a higher power here. He's calling out directly to the Lord, to Yahweh, the revealed name of the God of Israel, the one who's promised to be merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin. So he didn't want God to be God for Nineveh, doesn't want them to get mercy, but he does want God to be God for him. Lord, show me mercy. And as Jonah cries out, what happens? He's lifted by the Lord. So the crew of that rescue boat passing by Kay Longstaff, they reach down and they lift her to safety. God reaches down and pulls up Jonah to safety. Verse 2, Jonah called and God answered. Verse 6, Jonah goes down, yet you, God, you brought up my life from the pit. Sunk down, now raised up. Verse 9, salvation belongs to the Lord. It's a rescue. Chapter 2 is weird, right? You know, it's a song from the belly of a fish. Lots of weird things. But it's a weird kind of rescue, isn't it? God rescues with a fish. But that is part of God's MO. It's how he operates. Noah told the waters of judgment are coming. He's told to build a boat in the middle of the desert. It looks a really surprising version of rescue. Moses told to paint the blood of a lamb on the doorpost of the houses. Just looks a really surprising rescue. We're told to put our trust, our whole life, in the hands of a peasant hung on a bit of execution wood. And yet, that is how God rescues. He does surprising rescues. Another surprise is that Jonah's story is actually like Jesus' story. So in Matthew 12, verse 40, Jesus says, just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the fish, so I will be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah is plunged down to death, and then he's raised up to life. Jesus is plunged down to death and then he's raised up to life. It's the same, but different. Jonah is plunged down for his own sin. Jesus is plunged down for our sins. Jesus is like, I don't know, some deep sea diver there on the perfect cruise ship with his Father in eternity. And he says, no, I'm going to dive. I'm going to dive down. Down into humanity, down into poverty, down to a criminal's death on a cross, down to the grave, so deep his oxygen supply is cut, and then yet his Father reaches down and lifts him, raises him to life. And the promise of the Bible is that that raising for Jesus can be the raising for us. We can be clipped on to his harness down there in the depths. And as Jesus is raised, we can be raised. We died with him as we're baptized, and then we're raised to new life. In verse 8, notice vain idols can't help. So other religions don't accept the radical depths to which we've plunged, even though it makes so much sense of what we see in the world around us and what we see in our own hearts. So they don't propose a radical enough solution. They propose swimming harder, trying harder. But our only hope is God reaching down in mercy as we cry for help. Jonah is rescued by the Lord, so he pledges to the Lord. Verse 9, I will, with the voice of thanksgiving, I'll be joyful. What I'll sacrifice to you, what I've vowed, I will pay. Lord, you've saved me. Here is my all, my time, my money, my energy. How do you want to use it? What do we do when we feel out of our depth? Well, do you see, the Christian worldview lets you, you don't need to fake it. We don't need to pretend we can sort it on our own. We can face it and ask God to lift us. He can forgive our moral failure. He can put new breath in our lungs. He can give us new purpose, new passion, new power to change, comfort in the brokenness we still experience. We can be lifted. In a sense, we could stop the talk there. You'll notice from the outline, if you're paying attention, we're not going to stop the talk there. We've got one more point. Because it doesn't finish on that beautiful high. There's a sting in the tail. See, if this is your first time reading through the book of Jonah, you just think, okay, this is a nice picture of salvation. Jonah sinned, he receives mercy. It's great. But if you're a second-time reader, you realize this has come to be read differently. So the structure of Jonah goes like this. Jonah sins, Jonah needs mercy, Jonah is shown mercy, Jonah is very happy about it. Nineveh sins, chapter 3, Nineveh needs mercy, Nineveh is shown mercy, Jonah is very angry about it, not happy. 4 verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. So the first time round, chapter 2 looks like a joyful celebration. The second time round, in a sense, it looks like Jonah just laying out more rope to hang himself with. Every bit of celebration he gives for receiving mercy for himself just looks a bit worse when he fails to want mercy for others. The word hypocrisy comes from Greek times when actors used to wear different masks for different characters. You know, be on one side of the stage wearing one mask. This is my attitude. This is how I act in this situation. Then they walk to the other side of the stage, put on a different mask, and act completely differently. That's what's going on. One way of acting for how God should treat him, another way of acting for how God should treat others. Sadly, the words hypocrisy and Christian do go together, but they ought to be a contradiction in terms. Christians should be marked by mercy in every sphere of life, ready to hold out the mercy they've received to others, taking the first steps to reconciliation, keeping serving even when others let them down, the colleague, the boss, the spouse, the church member. But primarily, Jonah's about speaking the gospel. However much Jonah wanted gospel mercy for himself, he didn't want Nineveh to hear of gospel mercy. Should make Christians ask, are there any people we're treating as Ninevites? Maybe that boss who's just made the last 18 months of my life just an utter misery. That colleague who keeps passing the blame to me. Would we pray for them to have the chance to hear of Jesus? Would we try and speak of Jesus to them? More often, though, I think in my heart, the fact I don't speak to others about Jesus comes more from apathy than it does from anger. I guess most Christians here would be, you could call them back foot evangelists, that if someone comes to me and says, what must I do to be saved? Tell me about God and the mercy that's on offer. I need it. I'd probably try and give an answer to that. I would. But how often am I on the front foot looking for opportunities? Ask that of the kind of international church. I was meeting with someone the other day who works for Wycliffe Bible Translators. And it's wonderful that there's so many Bible translating projects on the go around the world that Christians are on the front foot looking to give people the chance to hear the gospel. And yet there's so much work to be done there that 20% of the world cannot read the book of Jonah in a language, not even in their own language, in a language they understand. If we want to give people a chance to meet the God of mercy in the book of Jonah, they need to have the book in their own language, right? Want to be on the front foot looking to support stuff like that. It's been exciting in the war recently to see people on the front foot looking to take the gospel to their firms, putting on carol services in their firms which haven't held them before. Or chatting to someone the other day just saying, I've got a great friend in the war. I'm just really looking for the next opportunity to meet up with him because I want to sit down with him and look at the Bible with him. That's my plan, on the front foot looking to take the gospel out. We're to rejoice in the mercy God shows us, and we're to hold out that mercy to others. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then there'll be a chance to discuss these things together. Father, please write these truths onto our heart. Please help us to see the depths to which we've sunk, and yet the heights to which you've raised us. Please help us not just harbour a desire for mercy for ourselves, but desire mercy to go out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.